I stand before you enthused this morning, excited about being a Christian, thanking Him for His Word, thanking Him for His love, that one day He loved me when I was unlovable, when I didn't care about Him, when I didn't give a hoot about anything but what I wanted in my life and around my little circle. I'm enthused today because He loved me so much. He reached down there and He got a hold of me. I hope you're all in that state of mind this morning, thinking of the songs we sung. Me and Sean were talking earlier today back there about the exact song that Ron sang. Is having that hope, knowing where our moms and dads and our friends and neighbors are. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting, Miss Patty, to know where Mr. Rick's at? To know he's there waiting on you, looking for that day to welcome you in. I'm excited. Sometimes it's hard to contain excitement. You ever go to a wrestling match? I seen a grown man one time when his son won the state tournament, just jump and act like a silly guy, you know, just like I would when Billy won a big motocross race. I was excited. Jesus won. We need to be excited about what Jesus has done. I had a CDL test this week, and you know, those of you who've had your CDL license know what I'm talking about. Kind of nerve-wracking, but the point being is you take a written test. They give you this book. They give you this book of rules and laws and guidelines, and you must do it that way. And then you get a test on it. And then by that standard, you are judged how you work out. My written test, passed two the first time, failed one. Why did I fail one? Because I didn't read the book. I thought I could watch it on a video on YouTube. I was YouTube uncertified that day. So for the next test is the pre-trip inspection, where you look around the vehicle to make sure everything's safe and within the boundaries of the law, tire wear, you know, worn out parts, whatever. I read the book. I studied, I practiced. I practiced driving, backing, pulling up, shifting gears, the whole shebang. And I went and I had to meet that standard. If I did not meet that standard, I failed. So what I'm getting at here is there is a sermon in everything. Somebody mentioned earlier, on Wednesday nights, we watched a couple of videos, the last two Wednesdays. 2 weeks ago was talked about the graven image, and to explain the graven image, and this is not an idol, so to speak. Something like a golden calf, if you remember in Exodus. In the Old Testament, they made a golden calf. But this is the graven images to me, what I make God to be in my mind. And for those who've watched the videos, bear with me just a little bit. But those who haven't, they would be talking to folks and ask them about their knowledge of God, about their knowledge of different things, about what they thought about this situation or that situation. And most all of them would say, well, to me, God is blah, 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 blah. And 90% of the time, 99% of the time, it wasn't in line with the book. So you get my point, the graven image, and that's something we can all have. That's something I will confess before you all right now that I had in my life before. And if you're honest with yourself, you all probably did too, each and every one of us. And then the second one was last Wednesday, was called Mirroring the Ten Commandments. And in reviewing that before I brought it down for us all to see on Wednesday, it really struck the chord that it struck those years ago when we watched it over there, how important the Ten Commandments are. Do you realize how much attack has come against the Ten Commandments. How many times in the political realm have we seen where they're wanting to take it out of any public place, out of a courthouse, out of a library, schools, anywhere? So it must mean something, don't you think? So, and in studying that and thinking about that, and sometimes I'll just sit quiet and let God feed me. And that song, Red Letters, Tony has sang a time or two. And it's a song by a Crowder. But his first words in the sentence are, standing on death row. Now think about that. Standing on death row, I was guilty in the first degree. How did he know that? How did he come to find out he was standing on death row and that he was guilty on the first degree? If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And as you're looking for that, I'm going to remember, we need to remember when God created us, He created us with the ability to know right and wrong within us. Somebody that rejects God still knows there's right and wrong. Romans says in 1:20, we are without excuse. Okay? So, and when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they took the matter of choice, and that's where the fall began. So, right now, let's read, if you would all stand, let's read. Those who can, stand, because I'm going to be reading 17 verses. And you'll recognize these all. But before I start on that, one of the things in the video about the Ten Commandments, how many Ten Commandments do you know? They would ask different people. I think one of them maybe knew one. There were several of them didn't know any. I asked how guilty am I about that? Ask yourself right now before we read them, how guilty are you of not knowing the Ten Commandments? And the next question that they asked those same folks was, how many beers can you name? How many brands of beer can you name? And even me, I don't do that, but I can name a bunch of them. Okay, that sets up the scenario here. Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. And it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, which we just talked about, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Pretty clear. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That was the second. Third commandment. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourth commandment, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it Thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number 6, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Number 7, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Number 9, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us pray. Lord, again, as we bow here before you this morning, on this Sunday morning here at Drift Run, Lord, here in this little state of West Virginia, Lord, we humbly bow before you to praise you, to worship you, and to know you are God, to know that you are the center of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You are the giver of the law. You are the giver of grace. You are the lover of man. We ask you right now, Lord, for you to forgive us. We ask you to guide and direct us. Be in every word that's spoken here. Move upon every heart that is among us, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you and ask for you to be with our pastor this morning, Lord. Just lift him up, Lord, as only you can, Lord, and be with those others that couldn't be here today. We ask for you to just bless and move and hug them as only you can. Again, I ask for you to forgive me. In these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, in your own mind, as we read those over, again, in your own mind, how many did you know? How many do you take serious? How many, oh yeah, I remember that one after you heard it. One scenario that they would talk about, Ray Comfort, he was one of the guys in the video, and Kirk Cameron. And anybody ever watched TV 20 years ago, they know who Kirk Cameron is. What was that name? Name of that show? Growing Pains. So you know he was just a little kid on the show, but man, he is a serious man for God right now. He preaches, and he won't use his fame for vainglory, but he'll use it for the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the truth. And they would ask the question, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah. Have you ever stole something? Yeah. And I'm answering for myself. You answer your own self. Be honest, though. Of course, God knows whether you're telling the truth or a lie. And have you ever told a lie? Well, yes. And they would go right into it, and they're using this for the opportunity to witness to others, to show them their need, their hopeless state that they're in. But the reason it's weighed on my heart so much is before I get there. So they would say, so by your own admittance, you're a lying, thieving, what was the other one I said?
Adulterer at heart,
and blasphemer. Use the Lord's name in vain. He would say that, and that's by your own admission. We got to remember that as a church group. We got to remember from where we came. We got to remember that we're not above who we're trying to share the gospel with. How did we know we were lost? By the law. The law shows us our sin. Agreed? Agreed. I was going to, well, I'll do it later. I heard this mentioned the other day. God gives us boundaries, right? So, what are those boundaries? Okay. God doesn't make those boundaries to confine us. God makes those boundaries to protect us. Right? He wants to keep me from wading out there in that deep water. You know, I was looking across there a while ago and thought, well, look at that. Look how flat that is. You just run right across that. Forgetting about that channel that's hidden under that level water. I'm going to read, and I'll get to a clear and concise point here shortly, okay? Purpose, again, was in Crowder's song, Red Letters, "Here I stand on death row, guilty to the first degree." How did he reach to that point? I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 27 through 31. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 through 31. Says, "Go thou near." This is the Israelites talking to Moses, giving Moses their request. It says, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say." Now, there again, that's the Israelites asking Moses to go to God. And hear, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." Emphasis on hear it and do it. "And the Lord heard the voice of the words. And when ye spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it." And the reason I read that, the Israelites appeared to want to know how to live. I remember hearing the gospel the first time and knowing all that went on inside of me, how guilty, how I knew I couldn't do it. I would ask, and you've heard me mention John Arnold, so he won't mind me saying his name a lot because he just meant so much to me in my life and guidance. But I would say, "John, now how do I do it? How do I live?" So I was asking, of course, another man. But that's what they're doing. They're asking Moses to have God to give them guidelines. And how did that work out for them? They failed. They failed miserably. They turned their back on him while he was on the mountain getting the commandments. So the point being, it is to show us God's Ten Commandments, God's law is to show us our failures, our inability to do it right. It puts us all on the same level. At this moment, right now, I would like for everybody to look around the room. Look at somebody else. Look around. Don't look at me, look somewhere else. Yeah, you. Yeah, there you go. Look at others. I know how uncomfortable that might make us feel, but how often do we do that thinking, "Oh, I'm better than them. I don't do this and I don't do that." Or, "I'm not as good as him. He does better at this and does better at that." Point being, we're all guilty. The Ten Commandments shows us we are all guilty. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And it is written, there is none righteous, No, not one. Does that include you? It does. Does that include me? It does. That includes each and every one of us. The law was used to show us our sin, our inability to be righteous. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now they in the video they went into how modern evangelism, and it really opened my eyes to something, that we share the love of Jesus. We share the goodness that He does. But one of the questions that come back is, save me from what? Why am I lost? Sometimes we fail to share and forget in our own minds where we began. We forget our failures. So I thought a lot about Bible school, Belinda. I thought a lot about Bible school, the opportunity that we have to show children the love of Jesus, to give them the gospel. But we got to be sure we ain't missing save them from what? There's a lot of folks that think, well, you just got to change the way you act to be a Christian. And I hear that out of a lot of adults. That I just got to act like Ron there, or I got to act like Dave there, or Greg or Sean or whoever. I got to act like him. But every one of those people I just named will tell you, don't look here for perfection. All of us guilty under the law. So we got to show our children. Hey, a lot of them grow up, don't know that what's wrong. They just don't know. They've never been told it's wrong to take your neighbor's, your buddy's pencil. And I remember in the second grade, I stole pencils and I knew what I was doing. I did. I'm ashamed of that to this very day. I am. I am so ashamed of that. I'd take them home and hide them from Mom. Really? I did. And that's big. You know, I'm a guilty thief standing here before you, preaching to you the Word of God. Why and how can I do that? How can I do that when I was a lost and undone, without hope, guilty in the first degree, standing on death row? How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, let me tell you. I was talking to a person a while back, and things are going on in their life, and I remember being guilty. You ever feel guilty about anything? Sure you have. And there again, we're all guilty of our human nature. But to be guilty of just something you didn't do for somebody, or something, I feel guilty for stealing them pencils in the second grade. And I've done much worse than that since, but just that's how deep sin is. That's still in my mind that I stole them pencils. And they weren't even new pencils. They was all used up pencils. It wasn't the point of the pencil, but it was the point of stealing. So, and talking about guilt, we're all guilty. It's not something that God just looks at you one day and sees me doing something wrong and says, you're guilty. I was born guilty. The Word of God tells us sin started through Adam and Eve in their disobedience. Guilty. So, guilt is something Satan will use to bind you up, to hold you down, to destroy you in every way he can. Guilt. And the question was, why does God make me feel guilty? God does not make you feel guilty. God will convict. Guilt is to bind you up and to tie you down. Conviction is to stir your heart to to, in a positive way, to renew you, to motivate you to step out and lean on Jesus Christ, to look to Him. Conviction from God is because He loves you so much. Conviction is from God because He cares. Conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction was the yellow Hot Wheels track that Mom used. I don't know what conviction your parents used, but it worked. Now here's where I got ahead of myself. I was going to have everybody look around. Does anybody see God? Is anyone in here God? That was my point. Let's look around. So, that puts us all on the same level, right? And we talked about Romans 3:10. So we're at this point where the Word of God has shown our guilt. I hope the Word of God has convicted us of our guilt. Again, Romans 3:10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, whoever believeth in Him. Now, is that not a hand-picked bunch? Yeah, you, not you, you, not you, you, not you, you, not you. We've done determined we're all guilty. We're all in the same. We are hopeless. In a hopeless state, like His song. That we have the hope that we will be with that loved one that went on, but without a relationship with Christ, without knowing that that person is a Christian, we have no hope beyond this. This is the best it gets. It goes downhill from here. Meaning hell. Standing on death row. Guilty in the first degree. On his way to hell. That's all of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, how do we know? John 14:6. So, what would, like them guys would ask, Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron would ask the folks they're talking to, say, now does that concern you when you admit that you are a liar and a thief and an adulterer at heart and blasphemer of God? Does that concern you? Well, they would say yes. So that when you stood at the day of judgment, that God seen a liar and a thief, where do you think you would go? And they would say, well, you know, some of them would try to justify their wrong, but in the end, He could show them with the Word of God. He could show them with the standard by which we are judged that they would go to hell, and they would admit they would go to hell. And they would, and then they would say, does that concern you? Yes, it does. I wanted us all to be concerned here today. I want us all to remember from where we came. I want us all to know that we were all once guilty. None of us was born in the perfect righteousness. So what is the hope that we can share to that young man that just said, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm real concerned. That one guy said, man, this happened for a reason. He said, I'm real concerned. He was going home and read his Bible. And it struck a nerve. John 14:6. We got to point towards Jesus, as Dave preached the other day. Whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Each and every one of us had to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. And what are you going to lead your friends to that you love and you care about, and your family and your friends and your neighbors? What are you going to do? You're going to do anything to get them to Jesus. Agreed? And I can't help but think about those children at Bible school. Every effort we make here should be to point them to Jesus. We got to let them know that they need a Savior. We tell them about the Savior. We tell them about grace. We tell them how good it is, the joy that floods our souls when we got saved. But we're forgetting to tell them they're guilty. We got to remind them, and I got to remind me. I remember going through that series, I was ready to get saved again. It stirred me deep in my heart. It reminded me of why I needed saved, that I was guilty. It reminded me of, told me how to get saved through the blood of Jesus. I hope this is a recap for everybody that's here this morning from where we came to who we went through to where we're going. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no other way through Jesus and Christ alone. We are guilty of the law. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ through him. Acts 4:12. And I'm going to be closing. And I wrote that note where Sean said something right at the beginning of class, is talking about Jesus, said who Jesus really is. And, you know, we talked about the Mr. Rogers personality that the world tries to put on him, the great teacher that they try to put on him. But Jesus is the Word. He went on to explain who Jesus is, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. That's it. That's the bottom line of who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. He was the only perfect, righteous human to ever live. Agreed? Because he was God in the flesh, and he was subject to every temptation, to everything that we are. And in closing, right here, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. There's no salvation in the name of our Pastor Dave, as much as we, personally, as much as I like him and respect him and admire him and want to be like him, he can't save me a bit more than that fish over there. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's through Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I hope you've figured out you're guilty by the Word of God, not by me saying anything toward you. The Word of God lays it out for us that we were all guilty. But God recognized that guilt, and God made a way. And he sent his Son to be the substitute. He sent his Son to pay the price for us. He sent his Son to make a way that we can step through that guilt and we can have eternal life in heaven one day. I hope it concerned you. I hope it recapped your salvation. And I hope it puts a little bit of enthusiasm in your Christian living. Amen. If you want to come and get a song, we got to step out there, live like we're Christians, act like we are, have been a guilty person released from prison. Think about that. Think about those bonds that had us tied down, that sin that showed our guilt, that kept us from real joy in our lives. Folks, we We got to live and show the light of Jesus. How you do that? Ask God to guide you. Maybe you won't be the one to go to knock on doors, but you can be the one to pray for the ones that do go knock on doors. Maybe you won't be the one that's a teacher, but maybe you'll be the one that's a good supporter of the teacher. Maybe you ain't called to be a preacher, but maybe you can be the one to be the deacon, to be in support. We all have a calling. We all wire different. We all can do something for the Lord. Don't you think He's worth doing something for? I do. I think He's worth my whole life. I hope that you can see that. That He's worth your efforts. He's worth whatever it takes. Like Dave said, whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Amen.